The reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 16, reading from verse 1 through to verse 16. Jesus has been teaching his disciples in the previous chapters and continues in chapter 16. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asked me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Jesus went on to say, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me.
Thanks to everybody. It's amazing how many people make a contribution to the service, but that's how it should be. That's the whole theme of the Holy Spirit working, getting us to work together. And we can do so much more as we work together than we can do on our own. And so the title for the message this morning is A Mentor for Life. Now, I know we've got the children in with us, and as it's been said, there are some colouring sheets and word searches that the pastor kindly provided in his efficient way, so that before he went on holiday, he gave me some advice. And so the service will be a little bit freer and that this morning, but you should have been given the notes as you came in, so that if you're not too sure that I've got it quite right, you can look up the scriptures, because that's more important. And of course, the Holy Spirit helps us to understand the scriptures, and that blesses us and does us good. If you're watching online, if you email office at fbc.org.uk, we'll be happy to send you a file for the notes or even for the PowerPoint if you want it. So, a mentor for life. For the younger children, you might not know what a mentor is. Well, a mentor is someone who comes alongside to help, and we'll try and illustrate that shortly. And we're going to play a game later, so I hope... particularly because we're going to make it so that the children can take part. I hope you'll all join in and we'll have a bit of fun in doing it. So, there's a triple meaning in the title. First, a mentor to give you the best possible life on earth. God wants you to have the best life, and the Holy Spirit helps us to do that. But what's more, he is also a mentor throughout your life, not just partly, but all through your life. From the moment you ask the Holy Spirit to help you, he's there and he'll be with you right to the end. And even better still, he'll make sure you get an eternal life in heaven. So there's all those three meanings wrapped up in the title to say a mentor for life. Well, to have somebody like that, remember, we have people that help us in our lives. Our parents help us. I remember when I was young, a Sunday school teacher was a great help to me. It started me to know about these things. And throughout my life, lots of people have helped me. That's very valuable, especially as in this case, the person that's helping you is God. Unlimited resources, everything available to us. I suggest that's being better than a millionaire, because it's not only riches in this life, but it's giving us riches in heaven. And you know, you can't take your money with you. It doesn't matter how much you've got down here. Whenever somebody dies, have you noticed it always says, he left 2 million. He left 3 million. He left, it never says he took half a million with him. You can't take it with you, but you can lay up for yourself treasures in heaven that when you get to heaven, you find you're really rich. So, who wants to be more than a millionaire? Are you ready to have a game? Now, of course, you'll probably know some of the rules. Now, you can't play the TV game unless you're 18 or over. You have to wait till you're 18 before you can play. But the good news, God wants everyone, especially the children. In fact, the sooner you have the Holy Spirit helping you, boys and girls, the better you'll be, because it's so much easier. The older we get set in our ways, and it's hard to change. But if you start soon. So I hope, boys and girls, you're going to join with us. And I've got some prizes afterwards. I haven't got them for everybody, but for the younger ones, we've got some prizes for you. So there's something for it. So let's play. Well, you know, it's fastest finger first. So if you're all ready, watch out for the thing to see if you can get these in the right order. Are you ready? So, A, let us. B, God said, in our own image, make man. Can you put those in the correct order as they are in Genesis 1:26? Just put the letters A, B, C, or D in the right order on your page. And you can have someone help you. Whereas in Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, you can phone a friend and they have 30 seconds to help you. With this, you can choose anybody to help you. If you want somebody else, choose whoever you want. Your father, your mother. You could even go to any... The people in the church want to help you. So if you want to go and ask somebody else, and they can be with you to help you get the right answer. So, are you all ready? All fastest fingers have gone there. Let's see what the answer is then. So, here's the correct order. First, it's B, God said. Then A, let us. Then D, make man. Oops. Oh, well, we did say that we'd have some problems. It should say... Oh, right. Well done, Dave. Fortunately, I knew we was going to have a challenge. I've tried and tried this at home, and it worked every time. And, of course, as soon as it's live, but we've got our best computer expert operating the PCS, so he'll be able to recover it for us. So God said, let us make man in our own image. Now, that's really important to remember. You see, God set out to make us just like him. That means God wants us to have the best life, as I've said before. He wants us, and you need to recognize that. In fact, of course, Adam and Eve were made by God. They lived in a lovely environment. They didn't have to worry about ironing or cleaning their clothes because the environment was so good. They just went about naked as they were, and they weren't bothered. They didn't have to cook the meals or order things from the local Tesco's. They just took the fruit and ate it. There were lots and lots of trees all the time. It was a wonderful place. There was only one thing that they shouldn't do, and that was there was one tree they were supposed to leave alone. And for quite a time, everything went fine. But then along came the serpent. Now, in those days, the serpent was very handsome, and it's interesting that apparently they could converse with the animals. They could talk to them. And he said to Eve, he said, did God say you could eat of all the trees? She said, no, we can eat of all the trees except this one. In fact, we shouldn't even touch it, which is good advice. If there's anything that's a bit questionable, just keep well away from it. What did the devil say? Huh, Don't think God wants the best for you. God kept you for that. If you'd have had it, you'd be like him. Well, right from the beginning, they knew that God had wanted them to be like him. God was going to do it, but they were impatient. And so often we're impatient. And unfortunately, they disobeyed God, and whole of creation, not only men and women, but a whole of creation was cursed as a result. And we can still see things could be so much better, but they're still spoiling us today. In fact, 1600 years later and 10 generations, when there were millions of people on the earth, God looked down and he saw all of creation was wicked. Violence was there. That's one of the sad things. Sin gets worse and worse and worse. And it was so bad, God himself said, you know, I wish I hadn't made man. But of course, God had a plan. And as he looked, he saw one man, wasn't without sin, but one man pleased him. Do you remember his name? Noah. Noah found grace in God's sight. So God had a plan to give us an illustration as to how he saves us, and he told Noah to build an ark. And so that brings us to question one. Noah was going to build an ark. Now, let me tell you, so that you get a feeling for it. People wondered why we were measuring the size of the church this morning before you came. Now you'll realise why. How big was the ark? Notice it was 14 metres high. 14 metres is the distance from that wall to that wall. That's how high the ark was. So that's pretty tall. There were three levels with it. How wide was it? It was 23 metres wide. So that's more than half as much again stretching out that way. That's how wide the ark was. Now it's 14 metres from here to the end. That's 14 metres. And it was 140 metres long. That's 10 times as long as this building is. Now do you recognise just how big the ark was? Well, of course, it had got to contain a couple of elephants, couple of dinos, all sorts of things, all the creatures. He's got to contain those and the food for them to last about a year. Now, just think, this is going a long, long time ago. They didn't have their power tools to do anything or really good saws. It was made of wood. And at that time, when God spoke to Noah, his children were only just born. So he hadn't even at that time got his sons to help him. But Noah obeyed God and started to build an ark. I use this as an illustration. It doesn't actually say it was the Holy Spirit, but I believe it was the Holy Spirit that was helping. Just to think, they might have built small boats to work on the river, but remember, it hadn't even rained. They hadn't seen a lot of water before. So to actually have the knowledge and the skill and even the strength to get down these trees, to shape them and build something as big as that, it seemed to take quite some time. And afterwards, his sons were growing up, so I'm sure they helped him. But we're now asked, how long do you think it took Noah to build the ark? Now, we can ask the congregation to help us. So I'm going to ask you in the congregation, when you play Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, you're always asked, everyone should give an answer, whether you know the right answer or not. Guess. Well, I'm saying, don't guess. If you know the answer or you think you know the answer, show your hands when we ask the question. But if you don't know it, just leave it. Now, we don't want to... Chris Tarrant seems to like to embarrass people. We don't want to embarrass anybody, but if you want to take part, let's have a show of hands. So just for the first point, to help the boys and girls, who do you think is the answer is A? How many think the answer's A? Well, we've got a few there that think A. That's great. Okay. How many think it took 30 years? A few more for 30. Oh, dear. Right. How many think it was 60 years? 60 years. How many think it was about 100 years? Oh dear, Dave, that's going to give us, I'm afraid that's a bit of a challenge for us this morning. So, oh, there we go. So we're saying there's the possibilities. Some are saying we cannot be sure. Some are saying 30 years. Some are saying 60. Some are saying about 100 years. Now, are you ready? Let's see what the answer is. There's two answers. Now, I have to say that because if you're, we've probably got some really academic ones amongst us, and they would tell me afterwards, we can't be sure, Mike. So if you said we can't be sure, you're absolutely right. But it does seem to indicate, because God said, man's days shall be 120 years. So he was. It looks as if he was saying to them, they're going to be warned for 120 years. Because while Noah was building the ark, cutting down the trees and banging and putting things together, we know from the New Testament that he was also preaching. He was telling them that God was going to destroy the earth because they were wicked. And if they'd have taken the opportunity, they could have, there was room in the ark for them. But of course, what did they do? They said, you silly old fool. Fancy building a boat like that. What good's it? There's no water. Where's the water going to come from? It's impossible. They were clever, of course. They were sure it couldn't be. And so I'm fairly sure that it took about 100 years to build the ark. But we'll give you the answer. If you said we cannot be sure, or it was about 100 years, you can take that as you've got it right. So, there you are. If you've got it right, you've got 100 points. Now, if you didn't get it right, in the other game, that's the end. You're finished. You go home with nothing. But you see, God wants everybody to win. So there's a safety net with every question. You can't lose. Why is that? Because God says there's nothing that you do that won't lose its reward. Everything you do, he says, even if you give a cup of cold water to somebody in my name, it will be rewarded. So boys and girls, remember that. Do things for God, and God will do things for you and will bless you. So you can have another go at the next question, but you'll start with 1,000 points, whereas you'll start with no points, we'll start with 1,000. So in the Old Testament, only a few people were helped by the Holy Spirit. But Joel, the prophet Joel, said that more people would be helped in the future. So, once again, did he say all the leaders? Can we have a show of hands? All right. Did he say all the men? The Bible says a lot about men. Were they? Somebody says all the men. Okay. What about all the adults? You know, perhaps they were. So, last one, everyone. Who thinks, oh, that's a pretty convincing day. I think there's a general feeling, oh, you're allowing for a few men, so what shall we see? Everyone. Joel said, in the last days, I would pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. So even the boys and girls, they can have the Holy Spirit under the new arrangement. You can have the Holy Spirit to help you. Right, so we now come. That's doubled our points, so things start to move up. But if you didn't get the first one right, you've only got 1,000, I'm afraid. But it's not to be sneezed at. Okay, so let's go for the next one. Now. How good would it be for the disciples? Notice, it's very important you notice how good for the disciples at that time with the Holy Spirit. Now, who thinks it would not be as good as Jesus, the Holy Spirit? Oh, no, nobody. I'm glad that's right. So, nearly as good as Jesus. Some would feel the Holy Spirit was nearly as good. No? So, as good as Jesus and better than Jesus. Oh, that's pretty convincing that the answer is better than Jesus. Shall we see what it says? Better than Jesus. Now, that's very interesting. You see, The disciples had had Jesus with them for about 3.5 years. He'd been teaching them. He'd been demonstrating. They'd learned a lot from Jesus, although even then, when Jesus, we read in John, was going to be leaving them, he said, I've got lots more to tell you. There's a lot to learn. And he said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will teach you. And he said to the disciples, it's better for you that I go away, because going away, I will send the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit to help us is better than Jesus. Why is that? Well, you see, when Jesus left heaven and came down to earth, he was only one person in one body. He could only be with one of the disciples at one time. But the Holy Spirit, because he's God, he's everywhere. He's with you, he's with me, and he's with everybody. So the Holy Spirit is always with us. So we've doubled up again, 400 points. If you got that right. Now, Jesus told a parable, that is also, of course, in John's Gospel, about the vine and the branches, and he said he wanted us, how much fruit did he want us to produce? So, who's going to say no fruit? Anybody suggest that God doesn't? Well, of course, God wants us. So, he wants us to produce some. Okay? He wants us to produce more fruit. So, who's going to say an abundance of fruit? Oh, that's pretty convincing. So, yes, God wants us to produce an abundance of fruit. It's going up nicely now. Okay, here we go. And here, just a reminder, are all the things that God produces as the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All those things are produced in us. The Holy Spirit produces it in us so that we can have love for one another. We can have joy and really be joyful because of that and all these other good things. So, now here's rather a challenging one. How many gifts of the Spirit are you? When it's said that I'm preaching on the Holy Spirit, my grandson Joel says, oh dear, it'll be a long sermon when Granddad gets going on the Holy Spirit. That's his favourite subject. Well, I'll try and resist the temptation this morning. But who thinks there's 9 gifts of the Spirit? Oh, that's interesting. Nobody, right? I knew there'd be a problem. Yes, I believe there's 20 gifts of the Spirit, at least 20, probably more. In fact, what I wanted to say to you was, if God asks you to do something, just like he asked Noah, and he gave him the skill and the wisdom to know the design and the physical strength to do it, he gives you all that you need to do what he wants you to do. And in fact, very often, more besides. So we believe that there are at least 20 gifts of the Spirit. So, that's growing up quite a bit. We're now up to 16,000 points. I wonder if we'll manage to get up to 1 million. I do want to say that various people have helped me, and I do recommend this book. If you want to know something about spiritual gifts, this is a book called Bodybuilders by David Petts. David Petts was the principal of the Assemblies of God Bible College, and he was a great help to me, one of many mentors that have helped me along the way. And if you'd like to borrow the book, I'll be only too pleased to lend it to you. So, here's just a summary. Everyone at least has one gift of the Spirit. And the more we use the gift, the better it is. You know, with some things that you have, the more you use them, it wears them out. But the wonderful thing about using the gift of God, the more you use it, the better it gets. And it's important to recognise we should use it to help others. We should always use it in love. Don't be harsh with anybody. And we're told, ask for more gifts. Isn't that wonderful? You haven't got to be content with what you've got. God wants to give you more. What a wonderful God we have who wants to bless us and make things better for us. So, question 6. Now, here's a challenge. This is a real challenge for you. Remember, with Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, there's only one answer. But This is a bit of a trick question, but it's a chance to get lots more points. So, does the Holy Spirit help us to understand the Bible? What's the view? Oh, there's quite a few people think the Holy Spirit helps us to understand. Right. Now, how many think the Holy Spirit helps us to be skillful? Oh, that as well. So what about, does the Holy Spirit help us pray as well? I hope you're right. So does the Holy Spirit help us to teach others? And that is, so we're saying all four. My word, this is going to multiply the points up if they're all right. Twice, four times, eight times, 16 times. Let's see what it says. That's absolutely right. The Holy Spirit does all those things and so many more besides. What a wonderful Holy Spirit. Yes, you're better than a millionaire if the Holy Spirit is helping you. So, that's multiplied the points up. Now we've got to 250,000 points. My word, we're well on the way to having 1,000,000. Now, but is there anybody that can stop? The Holy Spirit is powerful. Can the devil stop the Holy Spirit helping us? I've already said the devil's there. He wants to get things spoilt for you. He wants to get you to sin. Who thinks the devil can stop us? No? What about a senior demon then? No? What about any demon? Now, can we stop the Holy Spirit? Who thinks that? Oh, it seems that's a pretty convincing answer. And that's absolutely true. There's all that power, all that goodness, all those wonderful things available to you, and yet he won't force it on you. If you say no, you can quench the Spirit. You can stop the Spirit helping you. So we're now up to 500,000 points. We're doing well. So, who was listening when the reading was given today? What title was given? Was he given the Spirit of wisdom, truth, faith, and holiness? So who thinks it said the Spirit of wisdom in the reading today? And who said the Spirit of truth in the reading today? Oh, there's quite a few say it was the Spirit of truth. Who say the Spirit of faith? No, the Spirit of holiness. So we're going for Spirit of truth, Dave, and that's absolutely right. Within John's gospel, he is called the Spirit of... It is right, he is the Spirit of wisdom. He wants to give you wisdom. That's one of the gifts of the Spirit. It's also true that he's the one that gives you faith. He gives everybody faith. Without the Holy Spirit helping us, we wouldn't have faith. So yes, he does those things, and he's the Holy Spirit. The thing he's doing is, we call the word sanctifying, he's making us better and better. And God's promise is that when we are presented in heaven, we shall be presented faultless, without spot or blame in heaven. So we're already 1,000,000 points. So it said in the reading that there was a specific sin that the Holy Spirit would convict the world. So was it murder? No. Was it blasphemy? There's a terrible sin. No. Was it not believing in Jesus? Oh, that seems to be a pretty convincing one. Was it adultery? Now, of course, let's see. It was not believing in Jesus. And that gives us we're more than 1,000,000. And of course, the reason the Holy Spirit convicts us for not believing in Jesus, he will convict us of adultery, he will convict us of blasphemy, he will convict us of murder, he convicts of every sin. But the main sin is not believing in Jesus. Because if you believe in Jesus, you believe that he died for our sins that we could have forgiveness. And so the important thing, and that's the main thing the Holy Spirit does, it is he doesn't want us to believe. He wants us to believe in him and we can be forgiven. And so we've now got 2,000,000 points if we get everything right. So let's know how well. Boys and girls, who's going to say, I've got some rewards here for you if you'd like to come forward. It doesn't matter if you didn't get them all right. Come and collect your prize. Okay, boys and girls, come on. Is that okay? And did somebody help you? Give them a present as well and say thank you. Say thanks for your help. You did all right. And somebody helped you? Oh, give them that prize. Anybody else? I've got some. Come on. No? Here you are. Can you catch? Oh, and did somebody help you? Somebody helped you? Oh, I'm not a very... Anybody else? Yeah. They're here. You see, there's always an abundance. Oh, I can't throw that far. Well done. I assume somebody helped you as well. I did actually order some copies of John's Gospel with the NLT translation from Pocket Testament League. Unfortunately, due to the post office strike, they are locked somewhere in the post office. So if they do arrive, I hope they'll arrive during the week. I'll bring them next week, and there'll be a copy, just a copy of the Gospel of John, because it's the Gospel of John that gives us a lot of information about the Holy Spirit. And if you read that, and you can use them to give to others to tell them about the Holy Spirit. Now, so that was 9 questions, and that was all a bit of fun, and I hope now we've got a better understanding. But how do we get the Holy Spirit to help us? Now, I know many of you here, the Holy Spirit has been helping you and been helping you for years, but there might be somebody that doesn't know. And so there's just 2 more questions that we're going to ask, and one for you to ask. So the first one is from Romans 10 and 9. It says, if you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So are you prepared to confess that? Now, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but here's the chance. Those of you that are ready, will you say this with me? I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. All together, I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Now, I made that confession a long time ago, and it is a bit of a statement of intent, because I'm afraid there were a few times along the way when he wasn't my Lord. You know, there's a saying that if he isn't Lord of all, he isn't Lord at all. That's something that we've got to try, but we can try and make God the Lord of our lives. There'll be lots of pressures to do otherwise, but if we do that, that's the first thing. And the second thing that it said was, you've got to believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Well, for him to be raised from the dead, he had to die. And of course, he died, as we've already said, he died for my sin. He died for your sin. He took the judgment of a just and holy God for the sins of the world. Jesus Christ died for the world, but God raised him up to show that he accepted that and would bring forgiveness. And he also shows that however much we've spoiled our lives, we can die to the old life and he can raise up a newness of life. So the second one is, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ, that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And finally, and this is the close, will you ask God the Father to give you the Holy Spirit? There's a promise in God's word, you'll see it in the notes. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? I hope I've shown you today something of what the Holy Spirit wants to do. It might sound too good to be true, but it's there in God's word. And throughout time, many people have experienced that and have done great things and had a great life as a result. I hope you're going to take that choice and let the Holy Spirit work in your life as he's working in many of us here today. And it will be well worthwhile. Thank you.